back live in the studio. Tim, Alex, and I are, I'm not really doing anything. I'm just
talking.
I'm talking a lot and making the occasional note.
And you brought Tootsie Pops.
I did, yeah. Help yourself. We've only got two flavors, unfortunately. We have a couple of guests on the phone with us now. Too bad they couldn't join us in the studio. We would have had cake.
Yeah.
Tim, we would have had cake.
Well, we would have had Tootsie Pops.
We would have had Tootsie Pops at least. And there's a bit of a thread here because we mentioned in our earlier interview with Paul Bettings and Abana Thomas, we talked a little bit about this Thousand Day Journey. Well, Rick and Jolene.
Well, I've met Rick too, so there's a whole connection there.
You're going to have to talk a little bit about that. Rick, Jolene, are you both online with us right now?
I actually thought I was getting thrilled today. I'm getting David Peck.
That's right. Nice. Hey, Rick, just so you know, I hate it when the guests are funnier than I am.
Sorry. Hey, man. Hey, thanks for having us on. Jolene, how are you? I saw you last weekend.
Good. How are you? Great to be here with you again today.
Or I'm here and you're there and they're there, but we're all together via the radio.
We are connected. We've got this little community thing going on here. And well, I was going to say sadly, but actually I'm pleased. Tim has a microphone again. Tim Miller.
Yes.
The last interview, we took all the microphones, so we had silenced Tim
for
a brief moment. But he's back with us, so he might dive in. And he actually used to work with World Vision, and
many years ago.
And so you guys, the reason I wanted to have you on the show, and I'm going to come out and just tell everyone right now, and we were fortunate enough, folks, to have traveled together. So Jolene and Rick and I were up in Tuggeranong, up in northern Bangladesh, not so long ago, about maybe 6 weeks ago now. And Rick, Jolene, maybe Jolene, you know what? Why don't you dive in first? So tell me how this changed your life. Life-changing experience for you?
Yeah, definitely. It was, so I'm a pediatrician, so having a chance to go and see the impact of what World Vision is doing and Global Affairs Canada's grant, the Enrich grant and the Thousand Day Journey, to be able to see all the projects that are going on and really see how you can change the trajectory of children's health by making these sort of cost-effective changes, but that from my eyes seem to be huge changes for whole communities. So it was just incredible because I come from healthcare in Canada where we have so many resources. So to be able to see what was happening there and using the resources that they had in incredible ways was eye-opening for sure.
Jolene, we talked a little bit about that with Abana, who's actually working on this project and has worked on many other projects like it over the years, I suppose, in her life as a health professional and as a development worker. We talked a little bit about that gap and about that access. And I complained about not being able to get a large container of a medication I wanted from the local pharmacy, and I had to actually go somewhere else, trying to, you know, use a little bit of comedy and a little bit of hyperbole to sort of make this point that, you know, really, you know, it's about access and it's about opportunity. What really stood out for you? And I've seen the photos and the video and we've chatted, but what was tell me one story that really stood out for you that really brought that home.
I think what really stood out to me was not necessarily a specific story, but I think we always feel like in healthcare that our resources are stretched here. We feel like we have a physician shortage. There's long wait times for so many things. So that's kind of what we're in the culture of complaining about within the healthcare system a lot here in Canada. But our solutions are often to, you know, open up more spots in medical schools, open up more clinics, you know, do kind of build more hospitals, and all of those things are great for sure. But what was really incredible to me to see in Bangladesh was that there is a shortage of access to physicians, to access to basic health care, just primary health care, health prevention, health surveillance, nutrition, and all of those kind of things. And what they were doing there was training people really kind of at the local level, like so training a mom who one of the moms that I worked closely with while I was there had been trained by sort of a number of trainers through World Vision, and she was local in her community, so she grew up with many of the people in the village that she lived in, and she was running baby groups, and she was actually doing the kind of the, what a primary care pediatrician would do. She was weighing the babies weekly, teaching the moms about healthy nutrition, encouraging exclusive breastfeeding, going to their home to ensure that breastfeeding was going okay. So doing all the kinds of things that you might access at a pediatric office or clinic or a family doctor's office here in Canada. And she was sort of, you know, trained for, I think, a month and a half or 2 months to do what she was doing, and just has been learning on the job and by being mentored through the people above her. So it was just amazing to me to see that everyday people in their own communities can be making these big differences, and actually maybe making even more of a difference because her peers and the other moms and the people in the community respected her, and she was their friend. And so sometimes people may listen to, you know, when you think about moms that go on Facebook groups, and we want to ask questions kind of on Facebook to our peers. It was kind of like that. She was sort of a mentor, providing some of the basic healthcare surveillance that we would do here in a medical clinic. So it's a really simple solution, but a very effective and profound solution. So that was pretty incredible to me.
Rick, you've been working on and off with World Vision for quite a few years, as far as I know, and you've done other work along the way. You're kind of embedded in the community, it seems to me, and you've been on the radio for years. You've been on TV for years. You're kind of a star on Instagram these days. Why are you still doing this work? What is it about it that keeps you so connected?
Dave, before I answer that question, I've got two other things to mention. First of all, you're not just getting one Campanelli today. There's five of us in the car heading to Ottawa.
Oh, that's awesome.
My wife, my two little boys. So they're all listening in as well to the Drew Marshall Show featuring David Peck today.
And you know what? Hey, Rick, we're actually thinking about lobbying to rename the show to the David Peck Show. So I'm hopefully going to speak to the right.
Enough.
Yeah. And by the way, Rick, I'd much rather interview your wife than you, just to be honest.
Well, I know you would. I know. But I'm the one holding the phone right now.
That's right.
You can have your time with my wife, Angie, in a little while. But and then the second thing, let's rewind a bit. I thought Tim was the audio guy. You took audio control away from your audio guy? That's a big mistake on radio, isn't it?
Oh, what did I call him?
I'm just the guy that pushes the buttons, man.
Yeah, he pushes the buttons. Yeah, yeah. He's got the mixing board, but he has a lot of power, I've noticed.
Yes. See, watch this.
Yeah.
Start talking, David.
That's right. Yeah.
Magic.
He's out, and I'm sure he's having some fun with me right now. Yeah. It's all I know is when the red light is on, people can hear me. That's basically it.
Well done, Tim.
Yeah,
well, listen,
baby.
To get to your question, I started doing some stuff with World Vision. Gosh, I think the first or second year I started work at Much Music, and I followed my buddy Bill Walicka, because I know Bill was doing some work with World Vision along the way back in the day, and I was just a newbie. I was a rookie, and I gained interest, and I enjoyed watching Bill do this work. It was a 30-hour famine campaign back then. But basically, this organization, World Vision, has done so much for children and communities around the world. It's like almost a no-brainer to get involved with work that World Vision does, whether it's here in North America or in Bangladesh or Rwanda or Tanzania or wherever they have offices and people set up. So to answer your question, why I got into it, well, you know, I'd like to help, you know, out the vulnerable and children and people less fortunate wherever I can and however I can. And how come I've been involved for this long? Well, there's always going to be people and kids and, you know, families and communities that need our help. And if we can do something and help out in just a little way, well, it's better than just standing by and not have anything done, you know. So I love being involved with World Vision. I've met a lot of World Vision employees over the years. You know, a lot of faces and names have changed, but of course the goal is still the same. and the great people that do great work around the world.
It's interesting, Rick, it's interesting they bring up the 30-hour famine, and it's amazing how many people I've met over the years who have either participated in something like that at high school, and even Tim here was smiling and nodding.
I did stuff with Bill for the 30-hour famine. I used to run the 30-hour famine
clearly the thread today is the thread today is World Vision, without a doubt, with some of the guests and just some of the things we've been talking about for sure. Rick, did you get the photo that I sent you of Tim?
I did get that photo. And Tim, I remember that hat.
Yes, I know. You wouldn't remember me. It's the hat, for sure. I totally remember.
The hat guy, the big top hat guy.
Yeah, that was my son's Goofy hat.
Was he doing a little bit of magic as well, Rick?
No, I was just being an idiot.
Well, I think you were really stringing along the night. You were the man.
I was the MC until you showed up, and then I was just the little M at that point.
And I think that's the first, obviously, I met you, Tim, that night, but that's the first night, David, I believe I met you. So it's been a good long relationship of, you know, trying to give back and do good things in the world. I think that's the first time we met. We may have talked on the phone prior to that event, but... Correct.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I can't remember exactly when that was, but that's a few years back now.
Yeah,
Rick, yeah. I'm gonna just ask Jolene a question here about her work in Toronto as well in Regent Park, I believe, but I want to just hold on this one. I want to hear, I think embedded in the why do you still do this question is, you know, sometimes these trips aren't the easiest trips to work through, right? You face some challenges temperatures and crazy roads and crazy weather and missing flights. So I want to come back to that in a second. But Jolene, tell us a little bit about your work locally in Toronto that you're doing as a pediatrician. I know you're also doing a lot of work with CBC as you work with the Global Affairs Monk School of Global Affairs, and your resume is so eclectic and all over and yet so connected. Tell us about what you're doing in the city of Toronto.
So I'm a developmental pediatrician, primarily at St. Michael's Hospital, and because St. Michael's Hospital is located right in the inner city, part of the vision of the hospital is to do outreach into the urban areas. So we're really sort of experts. We think of ourselves as experts in urban healthcare, so inner city healthcare. And what we found is the best way to reach people is, and to break down barriers to accessing healthcare, is to actually do outreach into the community and the downtown community of Toronto, and actually go into communities, so go into shelters and into the inner city schools, and have clinics right there, as well as in community centers and the earlier centers for young children and women. And so that's what I get to do is for most of my job is this outreach kind of program where I'm in a community center called an early on center, which is for 0 to 6 year olds. And it's sort of a place that moms and dads and kids gather. And when there is any kind of health or developmental issue, then I'm easily accessible, and it's right within their community. The one that I work at is in Regent Park, and I also work at an elementary school, Nelson Mandela Park Public School in Nelson Mandela, right in the health clinic there. So again, teachers, we have a lot of newcomers to Canada and Toronto, and often they'll sign up for school first but don't have a doctor or access to health care. So teachers can identify children that need to be seen or need a doctor, and they can access health care through that health clinic there for the 30 inner city schools. That's a partnership that we have with the school board. And then I also work at Fit Kids as well in the Down syndrome program. So that's sort of my clinical, the clinical part of what I do. And then you mentioned the Monk School of Global Affairs is my journalism side. So they have a program in global journalism for subject matter experts. And so my niche within medicine is providing knowledge translation of medical information. And so I do that for a lot of different media outlets just explaining things in a way that people can understand medical research or medical information. So that's sort of what I do as my niche within medicine. But when I'm on the ground clinically, I'm either in Regent Park doing outreach or at SickKids in one of the clinics there.
Just Rick chiming in here, Jolene. Just the only thing you could just do a little bit more, though.
Yeah, I think we've just taken a quick poll, Jolene. We don't think you're giving back enough.
But isn't there a little bit more you should be doing with your life, you think? Oh, okay, okay.
Do you collect stamps as well, Jolene?
No, I don't. I don't have time for that.
Oh, come on. So I'd love to know Jolene a little bit, and I'd love to hear you, Rick, on this as well. But and this has been a bit of a theme with the conversation we had before with Paul and with Abena, and frankly, a conversation that I continue to have with people that I meet just because of the work that I've chosen to do in international development. You know, why there and not here? Why here and not there? Can you talk a little bit about the bridge, maybe that you guys have been able to build between the work that you do here and the work that you've chosen to do in other countries like this community in Bangladesh?
I guess I go ahead, Jolene. You want to go ahead?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, it's a quick answer for me. I getting involved all those years ago, sure, it was, in the Toronto area. We do some events in Hamilton and Oakville. We do some stuff in Vancouver. But I was always the type of guy, like, even to this day, I love meeting people and learning different cultures and experiencing different ways of life. So, yeah, and as we know, there's a lot of underdeveloped and underprivileged countries in this world. So to get an opportunity, to get a chance to go, for example, to Africa to hang out with a community or with a family, or whether it's Bangladesh or somewhere in Ecuador, it doesn't matter where it is, anywhere in the world. For me, as long as these people are getting the help and we're doing all that we can to give assistance and help them along the way and help them get over these obstacles, yeah, whether it's here in our backyard or way on the other side of the world, I'll go anywhere. Like I love meeting people, and I love helping people out.
Yeah, and Rick, I was just going to say before you said it just sounds to me like it, and I've been fortunate enough to travel with you a few times, and I'm going to say it on air, it's always fun, and we always have a blast, and there's always a story or two to tell. But
yeah,
I've noticed, well, it really is about the people for you, and I've noticed you, I've seen you step into communities in a way that it seems like, wow, has this guy been here before?
Well, you know what it is? It's about making connections with people, and the sad thing about most of the people that we meet, like when we say goodbye to these families that we hang out with for several days at a time during these trips, the sad reality is, for me, I'll probably never see these friends again. That they're almost friends after a few days because you get to know them so well and you're hanging out with them for so long and really learning about their lives. Now, for you guys and the people that work at World Vision, it's a different story. Like, I'm sure you go back into these communities and you see how they're doing, get updates and stuff like that. But I can't speak for Jolene, but for me, when I travel to these different areas in the world, it's almost, I shed a tear saying goodbye to the people that I've hung out with for a while because, they're on my mind and they're going to be on my mind forever, but I would like to give them a hug again someday, see how they're doing, because the bottom line is they're a new friend of mine and a friendship has been made. You can't email these people in these communities too, in these underdeveloped areas. So you can't really keep in touch with people that you meet, especially this family that we all met. We were all there, Sira Jewel and his wife and his two kids. They live in huts, right? And they don't have what we have over here. You spend this quality time with them for a few days, and then you're on a plane coming back home. So, when we all meet these people, you want to make it, you know, something special. They don't forget it, we don't forget, and it is a very special thing.
What, Rick, you know what I love about it is, and I think you'd agree, is, you know, you'll never forget that this is now a seed that's been planted on both sides. You've planted seeds, they've planted seeds. Honestly, I don't think it's an understatement to say, or an overstatement, that our lives will never be the same, right?
Oh, no way. No. Every time I meet a family over there and I live in their shoes, so to speak, for a few days, that changes my life over here. You know, as you know, we take so much for granted over here, and we have things so... everything's at our fingertips over here. So living a day or a few days in the shoes of the people that we did so in Bangladesh, it's an eye opener. It really changes our approach to things, and it does change our pathway in a way as well.
Yeah, for sure. Jolene, can you talk a little bit about that bridge for you? The I don't know, the gap that might have existed before. It doesn't sound like it did for you, but that's sort of that either or versus a both and distinction.
I think for me, I was going to say I agree with you that Rick has this incredible talent for just connecting with people anywhere and everywhere, and that was just so amazing to watch. But for me, going over there, I think I expected there to be more differences than there were similarities. But what I found was we may live in different places or sort of have access to different resources. And what was so incredible to me is the first place that I went was the health clinic there, which was quite basic, and they just had one oxygen tank and one stethoscope and one blood pressure cuff, and, you know, outside in the waiting area where people would be laboring and waiting to have their babies was a dirt floor. And I just remember going there and having this immediate connection with the other healthcare workers, and I remember them talking about how important that clinic was for particularly for the most vulnerable in their society, and breaking down the barriers and making a way for people that didn't have access to healthcare. Because I think what ends up happening in countries where there's restricted resources, there's always going to be a big gap between poverty and those who have access to resources. And so those who have more money in those kind of countries are getting healthcare somewhere. It's just all the people that are the most vulnerable. And so hearing that from them, it's kind of the same thing that I do here in Canada, is really thinking about reaching out to the people that may not be able to access healthcare as easily, and that was their big concern. And so we had this immediate connection. So for me, it was going over and seeing we are all doing the same thing, just maybe with access to different kinds of resources. And the connection that I had with the other staff there was much deeper than I had expected, and our commonalities were so much more similar than I had expected.
I love, Jolene, what you're saying about the similarity through difference. I think that's a message that, I mean, I think that's the message, it seems to me. I mean, we're living in a pretty divisive age, an awful lot going on right now, south of the border. Never mind going south of the border. You just have to step into your own home, it seems to me, from time to time. And we're wired for polarity. I don't know. I don't like that phrase, really.
Right.
But at the same time, we just, I don't know. It's instead of embracing, instead of thinking of inclusion, it's the whole them, us thing. Why is it so hard to see that, you know, that we are all in this together?
Sting said it the best. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the Russians love their children, too.
And yes.
It's so true, though.
Yeah.
Think about it.
It's absolutely true. And I think we had Paul Bettings on earlier talking about the power of the image and how do you tell a story, and how do you tell a story that makes contact with reality and actually, you know, brings people into it. And I think that's kind of what we're trying, you know, the great leveler. you know, and that is, there is similarity through this difference. It makes us unique, but kind of,
right.
but all the same, I think it's quite remarkable. I love that message.
And we were also, I just want to interject there too, that I wasn't going as a mentor in any way, and I was really clearly asked to come on a learning exchange where I was there to learn from them and they were there.
Right.
We were connected to learn from each other, which again is maybe a different concept than some people would have done in the past with sort of humanitarian outreach or, you know, that kind of thing, where it's kind of like we're coming in from a country with resources and we know it all and this is how it should be done. Rather, it's learning from each other, and the idea too of positive deviance. So looking at within the community or in the villages, the children that are nourished well and are growing well and are flourishing, looking at those families and see what they're doing right within their cultural context or doing really well, and how we can learn from that and then use those kinds of things that they're doing to help everybody in their community within their cultural context grow and be nourished and develop successfully. So it's I just love being part of something that's more about learning together. And
it's a community, it's a conversation, right? That's, and I think that's certainly been a theme for me today, but I think that's a message too we just need to continue to talk about as well. It is a global conversation, it is a global community. Jolene, we're going to wrap up in a second, and I want to, you have a website, what can we talk about that just briefly? It's Dr. Jolene, right?
Yeah, Dr. Jolene, www.drjolenehuber.com. It's just really where I house knowledge translation, health media, and some of the things that I do. So you can go there to check it out.
No, that's great. Hey, Rick, I think I had totally forgotten about this story, but you and I had a fish massage together.
Yes, we did. Yeah,
I know. I'm getting some looks here in the studio, so we better explain what that is. But we have, I think there is some video of the two of us. We're in Siem Reap, Cambodia, and do you want to tell the story?
No, it's you're the expert here.
frankly, I think that's a little troubling, Rick. I think that's a little troubling that I'm the expert. Yeah, so in many, and I'm sure you can do it in other places around the world too, but in Southeast Asian countries, you can get a fish massage. And so it's an aquarium, essentially, and you stick your feet into it, your bare feet, and there's a particular kind of fish, and I'm not even sure what they are, but the theory is that they're eating the dead skin off your feet. I'm not sure that's true. Do you think it's true, Rick? I don't know.
Well, that's what you told me. That was the selling point for me to get in there. I thought, okay, I got a lot of dead skin on my feet.
That's right.
Especially, and they were going at my heels and my toes like it was no one's business. We really did laugh hard though in that
area,
because it's like tickling. It's like little fingers tickling your toes.
That's exactly what it's like. Yeah,
and it was a very close. You should put that video up.
I'm going to see if I can find it, because this is either career making or career breaking footage, and I'm not sure what it is.
They use maggots in medicine to get rid of dead skin, so it wouldn't surprise me if these fish.
Oh,
did the
is
same
that
thing.
Right? Yeah. Did I really sell it that hard, Rick? I mean, come on.
Would I put my foot into a bucket full of fish?
They suspiciously look like baby piranhas. What's going on?
And Rick, I just want to make one more note about Jolene. I'm so grateful that Jolene came on this trip with us. Jolene, I don't know if you remember or not, but you were in front of me in the line at Pearson Airport, and you almost didn't make that flight, right? You were on standby or something. So we're so grateful that you made it onto that flight, and you got to experience that trip to Bangladesh with us.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience and so fun, and really fun to be together. I'm so glad we were part of it.
And I got to say that I'm grateful that you guys both had time today to talk. Thank your families for me and everyone who's listening in the car and in the house. And it was a pleasure to hang out with the two of you on the trip. Yes. And I hope we get to do it again. Rick,
I'm at a hockey arena heading into my daughter's hockey game now.
Oh, there you go. Well, I hope they win, and safe trip to you and your family. family, Rick, on your way to Ottawa.
Thanks,
love you,
David.
Love you guys. Thanks a lot for joining me today.
Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks so much for having us.
Beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of